decisions we make here so that we'll be the ones that bless you and are the best for our community. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to live in a country that allows the government to be part of the people as we are here. Lord, forever be for those troops right now which are in harm's way all over the country, all over the world defending this country. Lord, keep them safe and bring them home safely to us. In your precious son's name.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Terry Crawford.
Here.
Randy Payne.
Here.
Andy Lazar.
Here.
Jerry Wolburn.
Here.
We have 12.
Okay, next is the consideration of last month's minutes. Any corrections or additions?
Yes.
Hearing none, we have a motion to approve.
One correction.
One correction.
Yes, AWAS was spelled incorrectly. Under comment by others.
Second.
AWAS, where is it?
Comments by others.
Should be AWOS.
Okay. All right. AWAS, yeah. All right, so AWAS will be corrected. Mm-hmm. Other than that, do we have any others? So we have
motion to
approve with that correction.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Let me see what we can do to you. Okay, next is website update.
Yes, we are cooking right along with the development. The content is, I'd say, 90% there. It's been under review by many different people, staff members, assistant city manager John Zobler, myself. Going through, one of the hiccups that we've got right now is our logo. This is the logo that was revised by MG3, the company that's doing our logo. They revised it based on this board's comments at the last meeting. They stretched out the leer. We took it to council. Council had a lot to say about it. They thought perhaps we were leaning more towards UF colors. The font was criticized somewhat. They brought up the name of the international designation, wondering about that. They had a litany of issues that came up with it. Those were all forwarded to MG3, but I don't have a working copy to present back to the board to show.
I think the design of the OCF.
They liked the OCF. There was some comment on what exactly that meant for pilots. Pilots would understand it, that it is separate from the industrial park, but we wanted to keep some sort of symmetry between the two. So it goes back to MG3 for their updates. But we keep plugging right along. The website, I'm really impressed with it. It's being done in-house. John Boots with the IT department is getting it done. We'll have some flash animation on it. It's really exciting, and I can't wait to show it to you guys. It's just, we got to wait till it's complete before I can unveil it.
Okay. Any questions about that? Anybody? Okay, next.
Pardon me. RFP 11-008, this is the aviation, non-aviation related development RFP. Excuse me. This is currently on the street. It was advertised December 6th. The pre-bid was held on January 10th. We had received a number of inquiries, I believe. Ray Hamilton, who does all our purchasing and RFP drafting, stated something over 100 different plans were downloaded from the company that we had the RFP listed on. However, at the mandatory pre-bid, only 10 companies were in attendance. Responses are due on February 10th. Had a few questions subsequent to that pre-bid meeting. We've gone ahead and answered those. And one thing that we're waiting to hear about is a selection committee. We're not sure how that's going to be formed yet. With the new city manager coming on board, we need to be able to sit down with him and see how he wants to proceed with this. So we're in a holding pattern on that one.
What does aviation done in the way of development?
Aviation, I'm sorry.
What exactly are they bidding on? Are they looking, what's the scope?
It is an extremely broad RFP. It covers the non-aviation development on the west side. It covers the commercial development along State Road 40. Covers the aviation development along 60th Avenue. Speaks about a possible public-private partnership for a future general aviation terminal. So it's all thrown into one document.
Why would we do that?
That was at the discretion of the city manager.
Well, that was not a good idea. I do my humble opinion, everybody got an opinion, but that's a, you know, from the standpoint of getting what I would want to get as a developer, you mix all that stuff up, you end up with a hodgepodge and you're not doing anything. So, with all due respect to Ricky, who will act and make that decision, yeah, of course, please don't, it's not our secret to make, but that to me is not the right way to take it to the world.
Matt, I attended the pre-bid meeting, and the sentiment that I got out of the meeting was just what he said, and your absence was definitely missed. I think they were, I don't want to say Matt's vision, but Matt's view of the city's vision needed to be here for that meeting, because people left that meeting, our potential partners left the meeting more frustrated than they were when they walked in.
Nobody could get a hold of something. Like a whole sack full of cats. I don't know where that'll take us, but that'll take us somewhere.
It is entirely possible that we'll get three different responses, and the city will follow up on all three of them.
Was the FBO proposal involved in as well?
If an FBO wanted to establish itself here on the airport, it was.
That's awesome. I mean, you could just mix in apples and oranges and watermelons and car parts and, you know, I mean, stuff that I didn't like.
Were the last set of questions we sent in, we did not have them yet?
No, actually, Bill and I met this morning to address those reported items.
Okay.
I should have it out tomorrow.
Okay, because I checked the website, I didn't see it.
What is the status of that right now?
Right now, it's still in the street. We're waiting for responses on February 10th. We need to sit down with the new city manager and see what he wants to do about a selection committee, because it is such a broad-based RFP. Who are we going to have on the selection committee? We're going to have aviation and non-aviation interests represented. I can't answer that right now. I don't have that information.
Okay.
I wish I had the information.
I'm frustrated with the process down the chute. It's just one of those kind of things where, you know, maybe it's a good idea to do that, but if you do that, and you got four reasonably distinct developments of it, or three, or whatever it is, why don't you do four compartmentalized? And then the people that are looking, and the community who are looking for something, are based on common ground. I've never heard of anything like that, but I'm not involved in the RFP process in doing this. Maybe it's been a time. But I think we owe it to ourselves to ask. Just so that it doesn't go, I'd just like to make a motion to the airport board. There's a concern on the part of the airport board in terms of the process and the way the elements were combined. Where we really don't think our concern is the needs and long-term benefits to the airport are not going to be met by that process. We would ask the council to take another look at that the way they structured that, as the way they were constructed.
Is that your motion?
Yeah.
You're talking about after this deadline. I mean, it's already out.
Yeah.
In
somebody made a conscious decision to do that. And, you know, I would, you know, I would.
I think that the intention was to try to make it broad and get some activity out there, spending money out there. Hoping cast a big enough net, something might come.
I think the feeling I got out of the meeting was that potential developers were, felt the same way we do. They were like, you know, we point us in some direction, and it didn't point them anywhere. You know, other than FBO, it pointed them nowhere, and they were just frustrated. So, if you were here.
Randy is correct. We did make it very broad to see what's come out, because there are external forces which are in play that we're not cognizant of. And we're trying to get someone to come in that has got the ability to do everything.
Yeah.
You may got to get someone to get everything. They may want a piece of the pie. We don't know. Landmark is participating. They have the capability to provide everything. Well, by making it as broad as we did, if someone like a Landmark is successful, they can provide the FBO, they can provide the money to fund the terminal, partner up with us, and have a long-term relationship.
Did Donald Trump come to the meeting? That's good. This is his kind of thing.
No, it wasn't. Donald wasn't here.
Well, maybe I'm missing something in the process. I know, as you said, it's like the process has already started, but
I think we ought to, I mean, just respectfully suggest you.
Maybe my motion's going to have to lie in a second.
Yeah, just wait. You know, if nothing comes out, then they'll have to take a look. And
I mean, that might be don't be elated that something comes out of this, and we might all say it's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah,
and we might go back out and we have to repackage it.
Well, we don't have to accept it, then it does come.
Nothing says you
have to accept it.
That's correct.
No. But not knowing what the timing is, as far as what the city manager's office, not knowing how they want to pursue it, keep it in your back pocket. We may have to call a special meeting of the airport board to review this or to go over it. Things have been moving pretty fast lately, and I don't want this to move beyond the airport board. It's basically what I'm trying to say. So
most of this doesn't fit the, you know, except the FBO. The rest of it really doesn't fit very well with what we're doing.
I mean, if a Donald Trump comes in and wants to take over, do just about everything, that would be great. Would you object to that?
Yeah,
if he brings it up, money.
That's pretty much what we said. Who's got the pockets? And how deep are they?
Now, given the economic conditions of the region, given the economic conditions of the nation, and all of that kind of stuff, I don't think the Don or those kind of people are going to be showing up with a bucket full of money to mention it and what we're trying to do. But maybe they will.
Yep. All right. Any other questions about our RFP 11008? What about RFP 11005?
Okay. 005 is the Airport Security and Wireless Network Management System, RFP. It was issued October 21st. We had the pre-bid on the 4th of November. And they were opened on November 18th. Basically, the project is to include replacing the existing gate system with a combined card reader and PIN number system, and install 4 wireless video cameras at specific points around the airfield. We received 8 proposals. We had a selection committee that was shortlisted down to 2, and Mr. Savage actually sat on that selection committee. NewTek was the highest scoring company in all combined totals. And we are taking this to the City Council next Tuesday, recommending that NewTek be awarded the RFP, that we begin to negotiate a contract, and we apply for grant funding. One of the areas that NewTek proposed, number one, that the price came in right on budget. We've got $100,000 programmed in the city's CIP, city money, no grant funding. This came in about $96,500, but that included a $22,000 infrared camera. So we want to negotiate that with NewTek. We don't need the IR camera, but we can get two additional color cameras and save an additional $15,000 on the project. So we're going to try and negotiate that with NewTek. And then take that final price to the state and try and get some grant funding through the state. This is a 100% eligible project, meaning that there would not be a match. So if we can get the state to pay 100% of it, we'll be pretty happy. These kinds of projects rank fairly high on their priority list. So it'll take care of a number of things. Right now, our current card reader system is maxed out. We can't physically add any more people to our system. We've got that many. Between the firefighters and the police department and everybody on the field and the employees and everything, we're maxed out. That number is 500 people. So we need a new system so that can accommodate more people.
How many more?
I think we're 2,000. I think it's capable of 2,000 people. It's wireless, which means that we can go and update it sitting at one computer and send it out instead of having to go to all six gates and have to do it individually. It takes a long time. If we just have one card to update, we're out there for half a day. It'll satisfy the PIN number deal. We'll be able to combine the two. If you lose your card, you're going to have to get it replaced. The card, if found, it won't work without the PIN number. You'll have to use your card system to exit the airport as well, and it'll keep track of the entrances and the exits. The video system, we're looking at a camera on the south end, somewhere around the glide slope antenna, one mounted on the control tower, one mounted on a, there's a sewer lift station right at the intersection of 60th Avenue and 20th. There's a radio tower on that. We're looking to mount a camera on that, kind of looking at that area. They're completely movable, gimbal. We can turn and look and zoom.
Where are they going to be monitored?
In the control tower, actually, on the third floor. We're looking at moving our operations office there. Work that out with the control tower. It's our building. The floor is vacant. What with the talk of the new terminal, whether we do it in-house or we enter a public-private partnership, a new terminal is coming. So we don't want to put this big investment into our security system and have it wired to our operations office in the terminal. We're going to send it to the control tower and set up shop there for a couple of years so we don't have to relocate it. So the camera on the south end, on the glide slope antenna, one on the north end, on this building, on the corner, one on the control tower, and then one down at Echo 7, basically, in that area. Keep an eye on the major corporate operators down there. So, we're looking forward to it, especially if we can get that grant funded. And like I said, this goes to City Council on Tuesday.
Anything from us?
Just information at this point, or at least supporting the, having this board's concurrence on the scope of the project and upgrading the security systems here on the airport would be beneficial.
How many of the big operators on the south end have their own security systems?
I'm not sure. Maybe inside. But I haven't seen any on the outside yet.
Let's get a motion on the floor. Chair would entertain a motion to recommend the city.
There needs to be, does the FBO still have a need for a manning gate in terms of people coming and going after hours?
Thank you for reminding me.
Is there a provision for that in the system?
Two of them. Yep. One at the FBO. It'll be tied to the card reader in the PIN system. And We're looking at one over at the flight school as well.
The idea about the Penn system, at least the one way in Gainesville worked, where you had the terminal building, they changed the Penn number frequently, and you had to go to the police department inside the terminal. You could get in easily, you could push a button, and get out of the airport just by pushing the button, because you had a momentary buzzer, and you would be out of the gate. But as soon as the gate slammed back shut, you couldn't go back in. And you had to have a 4-digit code to get back in, and the other place you could get 4-digit codes from the police department. So I assume that the FBO had somebody come in, a regular customer or whatever, and would give them a number so that they could, or you could post a number on the inside, so that people coming in would be able to see it, so they would know how to get in and out and change that frequently.
I would say that would be...
If somebody's here in the middle of the night, they can come and go to the airport.
That would be up to the Landmark to institute that on their leasehold. But at least the T-hanger tenants would be able to, for whatever reason, if they parked outside, to be able to get out in the middle of the night with their card system and card and PIN number system. And then, of course, the flight school tenants.
Okay. Next, RLR lease.
Yeah, this is advisory. This occurred between the early December meeting and now. We were advised that RLR wanted to acquire the East Coast Aviation Hangar, the pointer, which is this hangar right here. So East Coast wanted to acquire that hangar. In the process, they wanted a brand new lease for this one, as well as their two existing hangars, the West Hangar and the East Hangar. City Manager's office negotiated brand new three brand new leases. We actually did an appraisal on 1 acre airside parcels. It established the lease rate at $9,700 per acre per year for fiscal year 2011. That's down from about $13,000 an acre from a few years ago. RLR received a discounted rate at $6,242 per acre, because they will have leased over 4 acres at the airport, kind of a quantity credit. The escalation language is now a 3% increase every 5 years. So every 5 years, it'll go up 3%. All three leases have brand new 40-year terms, and they just put a for sale sign on the East Hangar. This went through and was approved by council. It is fully assignable. The lease is carried or transferred to whoever the new tenant will be. You are duly advised. This is an old picture, sorry, by the way. The Ben Leon hangar is currently in this location right here. I just realized that. Any questions on that one? We'll...
The lease, the hangar that they bought is the...
Amelia?
The
Galaxy? They had a G5 in there. There's a G4 in there now.
What's that originally? Who built the hangar?
I can't remember his name, but it was under a corporate name of Amelia. He was a gentleman, I think it was Savannah, and he had a home in Savannah, and he had a home in Tampa, and he chose Ocala because it doesn't matter where he was at the time, it was almost equidistant flying time between the two. So he kept his airplane here, called it up, it was there in 30 minutes. So.
Didn't Lee Farkas have a hangar out there for
the warm-up?
Yeah, Ben, Lee Farkas had the hangar that was right in this area right here. It's not shown on this map right now. But basically where the grouping of trees is where the NADA airline hangar was, who Ben Leon has purchased. Yeah.
What does he keep there?
Mr. Leon, he's got a Embraer Legacy and a Phenom jet, one of their new super light business jets. Beautiful paint jobs on both of them. for up there, you know. Yeah.
What's currently in that hangar for sale?
Currently, I think John Travolta is keeping one of his play jets in there. Last I heard, the Eclipse was over at his house, but he's got some Eastern Bloc military jet trainer in there. Not an L-39, but something else. I don't recall what it is. It's very loud.
What is, last question, in the West Hangar, what's in there?
Mr. Roberts keeps his Lear 60 in that one, along with a fleet of vehicles. I believe the Flight Department office is in there as well.
That used to be the Sunny Air building.
Plumley.
Plumley had one in
Mark 3.
Mark 3. Yeah, and then I think Irv had it. And then it came here. Okay. All right, next, Arvton.
Yeah, we are negotiating with Safety Systems Incorporated. They work out at the Fire College in conjunction with the local college. They are proposing to lease the entire 11-acre site. They are proposing about $150,000 in improvements to the site, and it needs it in order to have a tenant out there. It's had, we had Ocala Electric out there for about a year and a half, and then it sat vacant for a little bit, and currently is vacant. So it'll be good to have some people out there. Now, although the lease is based on a fair market value assessment of about $60,000 per year, the city is working to credit those improvements against the fair market value of the lease. This is something the FAA allows us to do. So we're this will be the first time that we actually do some sort of a rent credit based on improvements. So it'll take some FAA involvement and get them to review the lease.
For a one-year lease or the one-year extension?
Their intent is to negotiate a new lease either after the first year or the second year and somehow transfer it over to CF, basically.
What do they want to do?
You want me to address that?
Yeah, could you, since you met with them.
Nationwide, they're called, we have USAR teams. You may have heard them before, going to 80, going to Greece. Miami-Dade County is one of them, Fairfax, Virginia. I believe LA County, I'm not sure about California. These are teams that can be called up at a moment's notice, go anywhere in the world, and FEMA pays for them. I guess FEMA is realizing that they're paying premium, taking firefighters from large municipalities and transferring, so they want to have military teams trained. And this would be a training facility to bring trainees in on a C-130, train them, they would fly in, fly out. Kind of agree with that. So this firm is under contract to FEMA, which means some pretty sizable dollars. Once they get their foot in, FEMA doesn't like to move around much, so I think there's great potential here. This really blossoming into even a bigger lease, because they're looking at just the 11 acres right now, which is the old facility, but they want even more so that they can simulate crashes, building collapses, just what goes on in the other three communities to do it right now. Miami-Dade has built a training facility where they can simulate rescues. So this has great potential.
The art facility, hell, I'm sure all that.
Yeah. If we get some Obama bucks there, you know.
I hope there's not going to be any more Obama.
The construction company's not taking over the parking lot over there. So.
Oh, has it really?
Yeah. Yeah, they probably got a couple thousand feet of pipe laying around.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Any actual email on that? Just for information?
No. I need to get that out of here because they want to sue.
Yeah. Getting the board's concurrence to proceed negotiating this contract and I guess the use for that facility would help out. This they want to get in there pretty quick. If this goes to council, the minute it's ready, it'll go it'll go February 15th, or 14th or 15th, depending on the next council meeting, which means it'll go to them prior to the next board meeting. So getting your approval on this course of action would be appropriate.
Have a motion to, what's your thought?
My thought, the whole campus has sat vacant for years. If we can get a tenant in there to throw in $150,000, I'm okay with waiving that fee to get those improvements up and running. And then give them a couple of years to get established, that's fine. Negotiate a brand new lease with CF in a couple of years and move on from there. I think it's a good thing.
Okay. It appears to me to be a win-win. I don't really see, this is more along the lines of what the special room designated for you.
Yeah.
So we're finally getting to what you're going to be intending to be. It's going to be a different fashion. We just need a simple verification or approval of the concept.
Yes, please.
I move that the airport was unanimously, but wholeheartedly in concurrence as far as the acceptance of this proposal.
Okay, motion. Wait a second.
Second.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? All in favor?
All right.
All right, so yes.
Thank you.
Mettino.
You may have seen this or heard it on the radio, seen it in the newspaper. Sunair is vacating the FTZ building down on the south end of the airport. That's the old warehouse building. They're going to be out of there by January 31st. Knowing that date, we advertised the vacancy through the EDC. The EDC brought Mettino to us. We negotiated a contract with them. They manufacture durable goods used to treat diabetes. They are estimating or projecting 180 jobs over 3 years. That pretty much doubles what Sunair had in that facility. They'd be using two shifts to get that number up to 180. It's a five-year lease, five-year option. During the first year, the monthly rent ranges between $273 and it ramps all the way up to almost $2,800 a month. It increases every January beginning next year through 2016, where it'll top out at $7,200 and change a month. They are also desiring some sort of a possible long-term lease or purchase option with the facility. We're open to discuss it. It wasn't actually firmed up in the rental agreement, but it's something that we'll continue to look at. I think we have 6 months to negotiate that contract before that option is off the table. The building's in good shape, and we're excited to have them in here. Although it is a decrease in our annual revenues received, the revenues ultimately by the end of the first year will be fairly comparable to other area warehouse vacancies. Basically, it's about a 30% reduction from what we're getting right now.
That's probably
economy.
Marketing.
Yeah. But a little bit of history. When the prior tenant, prior to Sunair, was a, what was their name? Maybe help me out. And all the lamps in the back. They had a bunch of lamps in the back of the warehouse. And they had problems paying the rent. Finally, they closed up shop, they left, and it took us about a year to find
K-A-L.
A new tenant. It took us about a year to find a tenant to move in there, and that tenant was Sunair. I think we're very fortunate, considering our current economy, that we got somebody to go in there. And
Sunair was about left yet?
They pretty much left. They're just sweeping up right now. Their operation is...
They're still renting it.
Yeah, through the end of this month. They moved their operation back to South Florida.
You can't do any better to have somebody move out, somebody move in.
Yeah.
And 30% is probably top of the market.
And your spokesperson is Tito Rina? Yeah, she's been around for years. They cater only to the Latin market. Apparently there is a huge market there. And from what I understand, from what they purchase to what they sell the units to the public for, they're making a huge profit, so quite an interesting business.
Any ratification of this?
No, this is, it's a done deal, yeah.
Rita Marino, she's been around forever.
Rosie?
Yeah. That's her spokesperson.
Apparently, their marketing strategy, they, there's basically three Spanish-speaking television channels as opposed to 100-something on DirecTV. Anglo-speaking channels. So, do you focus your marketing budget on 160 different channels, or do you focus it on three channels? And I guess they've had some success in doing that.
By truck or by air?
Probably
small packages.
Yeah, they direct ship to other customers. Interesting.
Why they choose us over some of the other things?
The size of the building is perfect for what they were requiring.
Plus the...
We were just right.
The director and the president who live here, and he was also a pilot.
Okay.
So
they can fly to work.
Maybe. Well, he lives not too far, but he could probably fly wherever he needs to fly after when he wants to go play. Unless he likes horses. So...
Thanks.
Howell was the perfect fit.
Next thing he wants to build a hangar on his property and have access to the runway. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
Goes down our property and drives through a gate.
Mm-hmm. That's what he got.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. All right.
All right, next is the city ordinance revision.
Yes. Back in 05, we drafted a set of rules and regulations that the airport board approved. We ran with those regulations. Problem was, they were never transferred over to the city ordinances. So, we could enforce them to a degree on the airport, but we were somewhat limited. With the control tower in operation, we needed to revise those rules and regulations to address the control tower operations. So, we've done that. We've taken the old set of ordinances and completely rewrote it, and that's what's in front of you right now.
I actually read this. You got a typo on 18100.06.
I do. On the front page?
No, on page 3.
Page 3.
18-100.
Okay. Oh, yes. See that. If that's the only comment
that's
that
it.
You have, I'd say that we're doing
it. Get a gold star.
As far as our red dye.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
terrible.
I was so proud of myself for reading it until just now.
Well, you said you only looked at the word.
I looked at the word.
I didn't
want to read it.
There you go.
But in drafting it, I wanted to make sure that the old ordinance was cross-referenced in the new one, so you could see all the changes and everything. My plan is we need to advertise this a couple ways. We need to put this on the airport website and let the tenants know what's going on. That there'll be a public hearing on it with City Council to discuss it and make sure that everybody knows if they have comments on it to address them. Or they can address it to me directly and we can work through it in that regard. But like I said, there's very little changes to the existing rules and regs that was approved back in 05. Just added some security stuff on there and
is this
control
tower. Document what it is that would be used or is the more lengthy document?
That document in your left hand was what was approved in 05. That's what we basically amended and added the control tower information and then our security plan with the new gate card system.
So this three-page document?
That was the old one. That was the old ordinance, yep. And then this one, it looks like this. This is drafted in the memo as it would be presented to the city council. I learned something. When you change ordinances, you draft it like this. The clerk takes it, they send it to Tallahassee. Someone in Tallahassee does their magic and then brings it back here with all the fancy cross-references and everything, and then it's enacted in the city's ordinance. So, learned something new by doing this.
Well, probably the easy way to go would be make copies of this available through the FPO or through, you know, or put a note in the bill that this is coming and you
precisely.
Have to copy it to the question.
As soon as we get a website address, we'll be able to put a link up and be able to look at it online. But I do have copies in the far corner for the tenants that are in attendance today. They want to take it with them.
But it can be on the city website too, more than just in the email. As long as people can access it, read it, know what it is, and everybody can see.
I think that also applies to the authority of the police department.
Exactly. All the ordinances are enforceable through citations.
So we do have an ordinance currently.
Yeah.
It's 18-61 through 18-77. Is that the current ordinance? And what you did was meld the rules and regulations of the current ordinance? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, we're vacating all the section numbers in the current ordinance and holding them in reserve and then creating the new ordinance with the new numbers. Because it is, compared to the original ordinance, it is a large update, but compared to the existing rules and regulations, it's fairly minor.
No, that gives additional power to manage the police department and have backing by the, by the police department. You have authority to whatever you're saying.
Yeah, basically, if someone violated our rules and regulations as are written today, the only real recourse I could do, if it was severe enough, we could trespass them. The next option we had would be to take away the bait card.
There's no penalty provision in here.
No, not monetary.
Not anyway.
It would be a civil violation.
Where
should be a civil violation.
May result in revocation of rent access.
No.
Termination of lease agreements, penalties, prosecution under applicants. But
it's still enforceable by the police
department.
New. The definitions, we expanded the definitions.
Horseback riding, was that in the old ordinance? Horseback riding?
I think it was addressed in the rules and regulations. If you go to the very back.
Hey, where'd you get all these?
horseback riding,
I just picked that out.
Yeah, that was,
My daughter's gonna get sick, she can't ride a horse on her own.
We added, some DEP language to, fire disposal. One area that we have to, actually that we continue to address is, spill reporting with the EPA. Our original document said any spill in excess of 10 gallons shall be reported to the city, but, there are so many different people with their own reporting regulations that it's gonna take a little bit more time to determine the best language for that. So Bill and I are gonna work on that. He's really familiar with the DEP and...
The new rules coming out of Washington, if one drop of oil goes into a drain, it's now under the Clean Water Act. And you're subject to violation, subject to cleanup. But if you spill 25 gallons out of the runway, you can pay to clean it up. You know, no one worries about it. So it all depends on where it's spilled and where it goes.
Section 18-1000, security.
You're gonna get rid of those.
The lunatics are not burning this up.
We're not walking up, huh?
Security's new?
Yep, yeah.
And security, anybody's had a problem?
Well, he has the authority, now also Matt can, and can go to the Terry and tell him to put some drip pans under his airbag.
They got them under.
They're under there, but I took... Well, I know we needed a lot of them when I walked the, had the hangar duty that one time. We went to all the hangars.
We have another one of those inspections coming up.
That's German, that drip. That's German, that drip.
I have a question.
Sure.
That would be a problem.
What section?
18-400.
Then it's out of oil, is what the problem is.
Do you want to check it?
Well, I have a concern with this, is that they can park a car in a tight enough space where you're fresh. I mean, you don't want to attend to cars after you're in. That's kind of a pretty big security issue all around the country.
You know, you park the car in a tight enough spot, move the airplane to come back to where the car is.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
Parking your car in the T-head is a good idea, parking on your tight enough spot.
Right, yeah.
Because it's not really your tight enough, you know, what could be?
The problem lies, you know, if there's an emergency or something, you know, they take the keys, you can't move the car. It's just, you know, it's a big security issue, and it's in the car.
What section is that?
400.10.
18-400.10.
We'll address that.
We have it written in there where Matt has to go with the effect removal.
Vehicles may park in tight-down areas only in spaces leased by the...
We don't lease any tight-down spaces per se.
Well, I do.
Well,
we don't, they're not specific spots, though.
No, but, I mean, we've had this come up before where somebody's wanted to park a car out there and it became a big issue.
Yeah, that's what we're exploring, right, we're still trying.
Take care of that.
I didn't think if you had a knot between May and Park, you probably fix it.
Well, take it out.
We still, just so you know, the city attorney has yet to review it, so there's probably still changes. We have plenty of time to see something.
Yeah, we don't have to affect all the changes right now. If you see something tomorrow, you can call me up.
All right, I think you gotta look at that, because I don't think you intend to let it park there.
We'll look at it.
Because it kind of conflicts with the one that says you can't park a car in an obstruction-free zone. Obstacle-free zone, free area. 18-400 or so.
Well, actually, the tie-downs are not an obstacle-free area. It's the area, it's between the nose of one aircraft and the nose of the other, and that's your taxiing obstacle-free area. The areas in between that are known.
How should it be worded where they can take a vehicle out and leave the plane, you know, pick up passengers? I mean, that's what's intended.
I think that was covered, but I can't remember which number it was.
It is,
It's not necessary to take that.
Most airports allow that with control of the FBO.
Correct. They have
be within our sight, either with our guidance or within our sight. The only thing we don't allow on is ads, taxis. But no motor drivers that we know come on, and,
All persons are prohibited from entering the runways, taxiways, ramp, apron, utility or service areas, or other areas as may be designated as restricted, except persons assigned to the duty thereon, bona fide aviators in the course of their business, passengers under appropriate supervision in planning or deplaning, and other persons as authorized by the board.
What number is that?
That's 18500.17.
Oh, all of us, you have the authority to wait. I think maybe you did 18400, we're saying all vehicles are permitted.
I'm sorry, 18400.
So somewhere incorporating, 18500 is personal conduct applies to people. Maybe something in 400.
You say something under supervision or permission from airport or FBO authority or something. But there are times, there are people that come up to the county that we don't think should be driving on the ramp, and we just tell them it's right now we're under restrictions, you can't put people on. I mean, it kind of, there are some that we don't think should be driving down there.
And they shouldn't be driving on the street to give you.
Yeah, exactly. So you kind of have to, you know, make those, and then it gets to the point, I mean, we had one person upset because I wouldn't let them take their huge RV out there for an airplane, and the ramp was packed. I'm sorry, the ramp is too busy right now, you can't go out there.
Exactly, it's really based on how much traffic is on the ramp at that time. You know, if it's just too congested, we won't let anybody drive out there.
Right.
Well, in these rules and regulations are fairly broad. I mean, the landmark can affect their own rules for their own leasehold, basically. So that's entirely up to them.
I don't know about that horse riding.
I kind of like that.
I was
going to
get a carriage.
You're not riding it. Christine, you won't be riding the horse then.
No, not yet. No, this is just advisory. So if you see more stuff, give me a call. Let me know.
I think you need some part of the regulation in there. You would use for on the ramp.
Okay.
All right, next. Construction update.
Yep, on Southwest 67th Avenue, it's moving forward. They're out there. They're building the road. They've got an enormous amount of extra fill dirt, and what we've done, we've got two areas that they'll be stockpiling it. We're filling in the area just off the crosswind runway, that depression, that'll be smoothed over, and then we're putting the rest of it in this location, just south of the existing ARF facility. There's quite a bit of dirt down there that needs to get put back in, so we're going to do that. In conjunction with that, the city is looking at constructing a pad-ready, help me with the terminology.
Building-ready a site pad.
Yes.
And with the road, with the industrial park, we're trying to get it pre-certified, make sure that would be the only one in the state that's ready to rock and roll if someone wants to come in and build either an industrial park or be next to the airport.
Get it all permitted and ready to go. Yeah. They want to come in and lease it and get approved by the city, and we can turn them loose. They can go vertical.
That's until they get to the site plan process.
Probably.
And they're even trying to abbreviate that by having a medium-sized building, a small, medium, and large, so they can utilize existing graphics and building plans for. But that's kind of specialized within, as far as design and all. It's all part of getting people to come here.
Well, Ricky had done some work on the site planning kind of thing, because the process gets down to where the city hall stuff goes from place to place to place. And it's a game, and you see all of them over here, and that's something there. The city was really good at that, when we got away from it, so I think they can back it. And Watchaw County, you know, that's our competition, we're way ahead.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because they really made the choice. That's the Achilles heel of all of that, because the state would get the water and the air gas.
On the airfield electric upgrades, we're still on track for the February 7th start date. We're gonna do the runway first. Tracy, I know that they got some concerns about the horse sale February, but it looks like they can move that. So that should work out.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
What are the dates again on this? The 7th through?
I
mean, if the runway can be shut at 5, and the other runway doesn't have any lights, do I need to start the line? The staff the line?
No, I wouldn't say so. It's in three phases.
Before the third, was it?
I mean, I don't have to cut employees' hours, I'll just move.
Yeah, the,
Get more stuff done, and I can get under the bed.
Phase one, which is the main runway closure, it's a 50-day project on phase one. The main runway will be closed from 6 p.m. to 7 a.m. Phase two is a 40-day closure. That is on the south end of the taxiway. And that'll be from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. However, we're not going to have to close the entire section. There'll be intersections that'll be open throughout that. We're going to work with the control tower on those partial closures. So, and the same with the north end of Texaway Echo. That's a 30-day closure, and same time frame, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Check.
I might just shorten it like
a
7 an hour after or something.
Check your note thing on this. Any questions? Okay, moving on. Fuel report. This is end of the year, December 2010. Nav gas and jet fuel sales were pretty much even with the same months in 2009 for 0.3% increase. It's really negligible for the monthly totals. When you look at the year to date on 2010, we finished out the year down 6.4% compared to 2009. We're at 648,000 gallons. And to put that in perspective, we are at the 2002 numbers, but we're also around 1984 numbers. This area, 98, 99, 2000, it's missing. I don't have that information. Landmark doesn't have that information. So it's a gap.
Or you can just about extrapolate it.
Yeah. This, of course, was fire season. Questions on that? Operations. We June through December totaled 32,858 operations during the day. That roughly puts us at about 60,000, 65,000 on the year, if you were to estimate it.
From the tower?
From the tower. And these are tower numbers. So if you look at the bottom, that includes overflights, and looks like our big month was October.
Yeah.
Runway 826 operations. Month of December was pretty good at 145.
What's going to happen if that continues?
The Office of Contract Tower, or the Federal Contract Tower Department with FAA, they're not doing any operational audits until 2012. They want to see what happens because everybody's experiencing the same stuff. So we'll have about 2 years worth of data. The economy does well, and if we're in line with all the other contract towers, I think it'd be very difficult for the FCT people to make us pay a portion of the control tower costs. Yeah, that'd be a hard-pressed fight. But if it isn't,
good.
Y'all better start doing some touch and goes. Just a financial report. The numbers are in front of you. If you have any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer that. But everything is status quo. We're trucking along with that. Tower has got a survey going around. If you haven't already filled one out, we've got some copies here. Or they're in front of you as well. One last thing. Our staff does a lot of self-training. We work with the American Association of Airport Executives on just about everything. They represent airports. It's a lobbying firm in Washington. They make sure that the legislation that Washington's producing is not unjust to airports, but they also have a pretty good training curriculum. And it's actually video-based, and our guys sit down, they go through that program. And we just recently received an award of completion, so to speak, with that training. So proud to advise the board about that. We've got some great staff members watching out for the safe and efficient operation of the airport. You'll probably be reading some sort of a news release. I know we're working on it right now, so expect that in a few weeks out in the newspaper. And other than that, my presentation is concluded.
All right. Should we bring up our meeting with caucus? Are you coming back?
I will be there. There's a lot of... The best way to describe it is background noise. There's a lot of people talking about runway extensions and expansion of the airport. A lot of the people that are talking aren't representing the airport. It's we've got the county making assumptions. Washington is involved. There are tenants meeting with county economic people, but so far, very little interaction with the city itself. Randy and I are going to meet with Congressman Stearns' office next Wednesday and talk about issues on the runway extension.
That's not all.
That's not all?
No. Radar.
The radar on that? Okay.
And my understanding is runway extension, radar, and customs.
And customs? Okay.
That was all on the table.
Okay.
And that's what came out of it.
Well, I'll have an update on the other two items. That won't be a problem.
Are you prepared to come with some numbers on
sure.
the radar? Let's see if we can't get a help with that.
Okay.
I mean, in filling out the survey, I think that's the only limitation is the fact that they don't always know where you are because they can't see you until you're established visual contact, which is a real weakness.
It's like the guy said last week, if it gets hazy, he just got stuck in there talking on the radio.
Right.
It's like the tower guy said last month, if it's bad weather or hazy, he's just a guy sitting there talking on the radio, he's useless. You know? So,
yeah. I mean, I think that's a real weakness in safety and the whole effectiveness of not being able to see in the environment unless you establish visual contact, out in sight, you know, and that's not good.
The amount of money we spent on the tower and everything that's associated with doing what we did there, I was just assuming that it had a radar for people. And because the technology to do that can't be, I mean, they make everything expensive, but it's got to be pretty easy by today's standards. In the old days, games were like fight to get both to. And there's a league that went on record to help them do that.
Yeah.
Because it benefited them and it benefited safety in the area. But now, I can't see why that's possible. Because all it is a government theater that they don't have any input to.
No, I don't even think it's that much. Yeah, it's not. And to be honest with you, I know the control tower guys are, they've got that radar issue, but they'd also like to see a, what they call FIDO. It's a strip printer. Right now, they make all their calls. If you file IFR, they need to call Jacksonville to get your clearance. They have to write it by hand. They have to call Jacksonville to, everything is by phone. Nothing is printed strips. And that alone is creating more of an efficiency right debacle now, right now. So,
you know, if you can get the numbers on both those things for our meeting.
I drafted a memo to the city manager because that came up in a city council meeting. I'll have those numbers. So it'll be a somewhat expanded memo on it, but I've got pretty much all that information in hand right now.
So back to the radar. The radar that they have, they only just, it's like your computer, they just only have a detection here.
Yeah.
But they're saying the primary or the transponder.
Yeah, it's not a spinny thing on top of the control tower. No, it's a direct feed.
They're just seeing what it sees.
Yep.
A real time picture of the radar. It only makes sense. They're up there. They're obviously not real busy. So being able to see everything within about a 5 nautical mile, a 5 statute mile range of the, whatever it is, the control area. It seems that it'd be vital. The technology's there when I'm using it for $100,000 and compared to what we spend. It seems to go up pretty wide and down blue. From a safety standpoint, because the whole idea was to enhance safety.
They wouldn't be able to
they want you to swap the code, particularly if you're inbound 10 or 20 out.
Yeah, it's only if you're filing IFR. So
I guess they could do it for VFR traffic, but they don't normally do that most kind of airports.
Oh yeah. VFR, if you had to go to some of these airports, you guys want you to swap codes. Not on top.
I didn't think a tower could issue squawk codes, but approach control could. But I'm not an expert in that.
You're probably right. Then they'll turn you over to approach.
Right. Yeah. So the squawk codes that the tower would issue would come directly from, you know, from Jacksonville when you filed it. But if you're en route and talking to the tower, I'm
my understanding of the bright tube is it only gives them a depiction so that they can see all the traffic. And if it's transponder equipped, they got the squawk code, and it's showing the altitude. So they can see the altitude of all the airplanes and the radar's picking up in our area.
Yeah.
And point those out to
you. Yeah, and if you're squawking 1200, it should pick it up in mode C with your altitude and everything. So
That's the value of it. It's like, we pay all this money, we got this thing, but we're not really getting money.
All right.
You're going to communicate that to certain companies.
Anybody wishing to appear?
I'd like to say a few things. Our street traffic has dropped considerably in the last month.
Your what traffic?
Our street, our walk-in and our phone calls. From about 15 to 20 a month, about 2 I've had in the last month.
Really?
Yes. Wow. And I know exactly why. It's our wonderful new 2.5-inch signs that we have that the airport put up. It has actually been hard impact on the flight school. Not only did the signs get replaced, but then the flight school Quest, our signs are white and brown. I have people that know where the flight school is and pass it down because they don't, the signs are, it's a completely pointless sign. We went from a sign that said, hey, this is the flight school, to a sign that says it's an equestrian area. It's been hard on us. It actually has made a difference. I know the city's not going to do anything about it, but at least because that's. And the other thing too is we're making everything uniform. Everything has the same sign. East Coast Aviation never had their sign changed. A few of the tenants didn't have to change their sign, but the rest of us did.
What's the necessity? I mean, you know, some people didn't advertise on the ground. The flight school advertising is making that big of an impact. Why? There's not a sign ordinance that's directed to the city. That's why we have it here.
The intent of the signage that's in place for now is temporary.
Yeah, but you have somebody going out of business while you're temporarily doing it.
I understand that. The best way to explain what happened, we got a list of directives from the top down, and one was to clean up the signage and the approach face along 60th Avenue to try and get things a little bit more uniform. They wanted something immediate, and that's what we did. As far as the appearance of that particular sign, there's some issues with it. It does blend in. The brown does, it's not visually striking. There is something that we can do.
There's something you can do also. You can go up here at the city council any day on Tuesday night, and then let your concerns be known, because they're the ultimate hammer in terms of what happens.
Well, we'd rather, don't have to do that.
Well, it sounds like you've got a immediate problem.
We've got grant funding coming down the pike in July.
My suggestion to the vice mayor would be get on the agenda at the city council. Go down and share your problems with the city council and let them help you sort it out.
Well,
because if you've got something that you're telling us that's an immediate urgent, you have a problem right now. And as Matt says, our immediate urgent is July. So we can make all kind of motions and do things, and we can go up to the city staff where it's going to the new city manager, who's not going to do anything right now anyway because he's sorting a lot of other things out. I think if you go down and talk to the city council, they're really easy to talk to, you can hear, and just outline what your problem is and say, you need relief from this. The city ordinance, the city sign ordinance ought to prevail. And the city sign ordinance allows you as a business to have a sign of a certain size, and it's a nice sign. I mean, we don't want to campaign signs out there. I would think the airport would all be able to live with it. We don't have to have all this uniformity in terms of...
Well, we don't have uniformity because they didn't change everybody's, but what we're looking at right now is I got with Tracy because it's a concern, and they're redoing our building starting next week, Monday. And so we were thinking about putting a sign, at least on the side of our building, which is not as effective as a street sign, but at least it will help to where people can see. Because anybody that sees Ocala Aviation, right now I get phone calls for the airport. They see Ocala Aviation, they don't think fly school.
Yeah, okay.
And I need something to let people know.
What's your own sign say?
What's that?
What's your own sign say?
Fly Ocala Aviation, flight school, with a phone number.
Learn to fly or something like that.
It says flight school. The new sign says Ocala Aviation Services, Inc., and it's about that big. You can't see it. And even if you can see it, like the red or the blue and the green ones, you can see the signs from far away. But any of them, you can't see it. I mean, anybody knows advertising, it's 10 feet for every inch of a letter. Well, if you're going 45 miles an hour and you got 20 feet to see that sign, you're not going to see it. Especially when it's brown and white and blends in with the dirt. It just doesn't happen.
Do you think you got a lot of new students by virtue of the sign being there?
I have a lot of people that, they would, phone calls, hey, I just saw your sign. It happens a lot. I have people coming in. I haven't. I mean, this last month it just seriously dropped off. The one... One of the two that came in is because he saw my yellow truck because he seen me driving around town. It had nothing to do with anything else.
Arguably, when people fly by the airport, you know, and they've got an inkling that they might want to learn to fly or something, the sign up says it's a flight school, they might stop in there.
Exactly.
Is your sign out by the FBO? Or is it down where you are?
No, it's down.
On that
it's at the entrance.
It's down by our entrance. Luckily, hopefully the next 2 weeks we find out if we get approved by CFIS, which is our international.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be huge for the flight school.
Yeah.
It could bring in a lot of traffic. So that's a positive right there, but it just kind of, you know, there's nothing to identify there. Right now, I have to say, look for the rusted hanger. And that's the easiest way for people to, and that's how people identify us right now is, oh, you're the rusted hanger? Yeah, look for the rusted hanger, because I can't say look for my sign anymore. And then the rusted hanger is going to be gone, thank goodness, I'm very happy with that, in 2 weeks. And it's going to be a white hanger just like everything else. So,
What possible harm comes from them having a sign that advertises a learn to fly kind of experience? What does that do to harm the airport? and sign it, you know how the airport works, and that standpoint is a great idea. But probably a flight school, maybe a restaurant, but a flight school, there's only certain things here. People come here for a reason, because they're getting on an airplane that they got, or somebody's flying in and they pick them up. They have that. But if you're driving along the road and you see a sign that says, it's like, I always wanted to learn to fly, and before you know it, you learn to fly, and you buy an airplane and you're a tenant. That's a good thing for us. And I think the idea was probably a good one, but it sounds to me like it's trickling down to where it's actually harming our business, which is not our intent.
I mean, if the airport doesn't like our sign, that's fine. You know, I don't mind it. The other thought I had is if they really want to keep the white posts with the white things, if they took and changed the colors from brown to something, and maybe put Ocala Aviation Services with another strip, flight school, phone number, so it looks like all the other signs, but at least, I mean, it still would only be 2.5 inches tall, but at least until they figure out something else, it would be better than having nothing. Which is basically a white and brown sign is nothing.
But I can't see anything that sounds only good that comes from us as an airport, meeting tenants, meeting new pilots and so forth, to learn to fly sign. Then you see them in every airport. Somewhere, they advertise that a little bit. Just stop in and learn to fly, just makes sense.
What would the grant money do in July? Why is that the magic?
It's that's the magic date for the state grant.
So you're saying the airport is going to furnish this sign?
All of them. There, that's my intent. My intent was to use a portion of that grant money in July on permanent lit signage at all the intersections. My goal was to leave everything status quo, but like I said, the goal or the direction that came from the top was clean it up now. So we had to put something interim in place, and that's what. But I think there's an opportunity to work with a sign company to make those improvements to the existing signers that we have out there now. And we'll make that effort tomorrow.
That still doesn't address the need that he has to attract customers.
Well, what are you suggesting they can do with the existing sign?
Well, I'm gonna bring the sign company in here and tell them what we need. We need bigger signs. How can we effectively do that with the existing stuff that we have in here now? I understand it's going to be an additional expense, but...
The
it's not working. So we're gonna...
Well, if you're hung in a position where you really can't do anything about it because of the city management directly, the city staff can't do anything about it. And how was your misplaced?
You've got to realize if you allowed everyone to put up their own sign, it'd be huge billboards and sign clutter. You've got to have uniformity, and that was what was achieved.
But you don't have uniformity. You left other signs up. You let East Coast Aviation leave their sign.
The city allows signs within certain sizes to advertise your business.
That's correct. It's all regulated.
It's all what?
That's
right. You're not asking for anything different than that.
Correct. We did something in the interim to make it look nice, but what was out there was not appeasing. Okay. We're trying to sell
when
this
place.
When
you have to make a living and make a payroll.
That is good. But you're trying to attract people
sounds
here.
Good.
And if you paint your house purple and you want to sell it, you probably won't do it. If you paint it white, you do. If we can make any modification in between until Matt gets the permanent signs in place, we will do so.
I'm not objecting to that, obviously. We don't want hand-painted signs. But the city recognizes the need to allow other businesses in the community, and he pays a rent to be here, to advertise his business. And what's the difference? It has to fit within the sign orders. It has to be so many square feet. It has to be business law. But just to make the place look pretty from the standpoint of somebody at the city wants it to look pretty in case somebody drives by here, is ludicrous. That's what
all right, well, let's...
that's my recommendation.
We would like to see the sign, the permanent signs, before they're installed.
That will be a lengthy process. It will not go unscrutinized.
In the interim, we need to make his and the restaurants bigger.
They said they can do it.
Any city can, yeah.
I'm going to work with the sign company. I'll invite them out here and see what suggestions they have.
Okay. Is it normal for an airport to put the signs up as opposed to saying, business, this is what kind of sign you have to have? You know, it seems kind of odd to me that we're...
Well, we do both. East Coast Aviation came up. Their sign is actually on the leasehold. So their sign code is actually tied to their lease agreement. They're allowed to have a sign on their property. The signage along 60th Avenue is in the right-of-way, basically. It's on no one's leasehold.
It's on landmark people, isn't it? Because Landmark has to trim it and cut it, and it's all their responsibility, so isn't it theirs?
Yes. Is it on theirs? Okay.
What right does the city have legally to say he can't have a sign up?
They have a sign.
I mean,